For many business owners, the word risk sends them into a cold sweat. It's irrational but understandable, as who wants risk in their business? But what if risk could be harnessed for good? Now, there's a concept, and one that Peter McGee from Victual is excited about. Hi, I'm Susie Yates, and in this podcast, I'm joined by Peter to explore the upside of risk management and how it can revitalise your business. Hello, Peter. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Susie. Thanks for having me.
And why is it that so many business owners focus on avoiding loss when considering risk management?
Well, it's actually inherent in us, in our psychology, that we avoid loss more than we actually seek gain. But the reality is, for all businesses, we're in business, we are taking risk. And so therefore, you know, we really do need to focus on, you know, how we maximise the upside rather than simply trying to avoid the downside.
So are you saying that somebody who doesn't like facing risk should probably not be in business? Do the two things go hand in hand, business and risk?
I think inherently that people who own their own business have a greater risk appetite, absolutely no doubt. If you think about the reasons why someone may decide not to take on their own business, it is about the security of the income stream that they may have of an employed job, and it's an entirely appropriate decision. But therefore, those that do take that risk and embark on their own business inherently do appreciate reality that they are taking risk of taking that leap.
But there are people that can be very risky in their adventurous life, mm-hmm. No really sporty, yep. And they take risks, yep. But then in their business life they're very conservative. Is it just a dual personality thing, or can you be both?
Well, you can be both, and I think on the flip side there will be people that will be very conservative in their personal life but yet in business will take big risks. That whole concept is really about both risk appetite and risk tolerance. So for someone in an organisational context, if you wanted to think about the consequences for them personally about getting something wrong, it could well be out of a job if they get it wrong. If they get it right, it might be a bonus. The downside for them is more personally, has a bigger consequence for them personally than the upside, and therefore that's the thing that drives their decision.
How do you know whether it's worth taking a risk in business?
I think that's really what the crux of our process gets down to, is you can do it on gut feel, and there's plenty of very successful businessmen that have absolutely, you know, built great empires around, you know, trusting themselves. Similarly, there's plenty of people that have tried it and failed as a result. So really what our process is all about is helping people understand and put into context those decisions to make sure that they're using all the information available to understand the risk before taking that decision.
So is yours a clinical approach?
It is very much a structured approach, and in that approach, we absolutely are the facilitators of the process. We're not the experts in your business. So you know your business inherently better than we will, and that will always be the case. And what our role is to bring a structured process to the table that will allow you to make those decisions on an informed basis.
And so what are some of the benefits of embracing risk?
One of the key equations that any business owner will know is how you value a business. And a very simplified approach to valuing a business is you take a monetary measure like profit and you multiply that by a multiple. That multiple is really a measure of risk. It is how certain are those future cash flows. In trying to maximize the value of our business, we focus on profit and revenue all the time. How often do we focus on that other very key factor, risk factor?
Well, I've never heard of it being used in a equation. Like, obviously, I've heard, you know, you value your business maybe three times EBITDA or whatever it is. Mm. Valuing risk, that's a new concept, or has it been around for a while?
It's been around for quite a while. I think it's probably not as sexy as maybe the whole focus on revenue and sales and profit. So therefore, it doesn't get the airtime, hence why we're here today, I suppose. Yes, it's been around for a long time. You mentioned a multiple of three as opposed to a multiple of six. The organisation with a six, those future cash flows are more certain. There is less risk in that business, hence it gets a bigger multiple.
Mm. What is it like discussing with a business owner who's risk adverse, having to take the risk? What's it feel like?
It's interesting because when they initially communicate that they are risk averse, it doesn't take long to help them understand that they're taking big risks every day. And it's really about helping them understand the risks they are taking and the risks that they're not taking. A really good example that we use quite often is a client that had, due to some bad experience with bad debts over a number of years, put in place some very strict processes around who they were willing to give credit terms to. You know, you talk to the sales team, was restricting them in terms of the sales that they could chase. We implemented a range of controls around, you know, how you assess that risk, and also implemented some insurance products around protecting them from those bad debts. And they increased sales by $15 million, which was 15% of their turnover in 12 months. So it can have a significant impact if you think about managing the risk rather than simply avoiding it.
Uh-huh. Mm. So what would have been the downside, though?
After implementing our controls, i.e. the more thorough processes about assessing as well as the insurance products, if they did have bad debts associated with that, then simply the insurance product would have covered any losses. So yes, there was a premium associated with that, but if you think about the cost benefit in terms of the cost of the premium against the increase in sales, then, you know, it's a bit of a no-brainer.
And how's that business going now?
Yeah, it's still very successful. It's grown in a very tough market, as you know, many businesses have experienced tough times. So I think they're all looking for a little edge, but they continue to grow. No doubt that was an unusual 12 months for them, but a positive one. And I think they've learned a lot from the process.
Maybe that's a good sales point for you, though. We can guarantee a 15% increase.
I'd like to say that to all our clients. And if I had a dollar for every time someone said, well, how much am I going to save or how much am I going to gain? I'd like to be able to guarantee. But again, we're in the business of taking risk.
Can you ever be too risky, though?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, I think there are plenty of examples where people have been too risky, and for businesses that have taken, you know, what in hindsight it's very easy to assess as bad decisions and now no longer exist. You know, probably one of the more high profile being Kodak, had technology, decided not to pursue it on the basis that was with the digital camera, that it would impact on their sale of film. Well, someone else found the technology and now Kodak no longer exists as a brand. So,
and what's film?
Exactly.
those little canister
yes,
things.
That's right. That you've probably got, you know, sitting in a drawer somewhere, and you'll never be able to publish, given the fact that it's just died as a product.
Yeah. Mm. Now, Peter, you say that there are five areas where risk management can add value to a business. Can you walk me through those?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, having worked in the risk management industry now for 20 years, this is really, I guess, something that we've picked up from experience. And the most obvious one to start with is it helps organisations make better decisions. And that could be from the basis of how you go about the corporate finance approach to assessing the value of an investment. You know, what your weighted average cost of capital. At the end of the day, that's a risk management tool that you're using there. But it could simply be coming back to how you negotiate the contracts that you do have with key stakeholders in your business. So a really good example for us was a recent client that didn't place a lot of emphasis on contracts, very much was focused on relationships, as many people are and many very successful people are. And it wasn't actually until we started to talk about supply chain risk where they actually understood that, okay, a contract is not just a legal instrument that you hope that you never use. The contract in this sense was really about drawing the line in the sand about who had the responsibility in various scenarios. So, you know, whether it be a responsibility for maintaining supply in some kind of outage, or, you know, whether it's how much stock you're supposed to keep on a shelf. It wasn't until they understood that that they embraced the fact that, you know, contracts were really important and have now progressed down that path. Mm-hmm. Better decisions is some ways obvious. Second way is around creating a competitive advantage. And again, when you think about it, somewhat obvious in that a client that does embrace risk management and, for example, will commit to implementing safety management systems to a certified standard or quality management systems to a certified standard. Now, why do they do that? Of course, they do it to make sure that they protect their people and their products, but also they're doing it to create that little bit of competitive advantage against their customers. Similarly, you know, there may be certain commercial avenues that they actually can't pursue unless they've got those kinds of certifications, such as a government contract or, you know, a major customer that they might have may suggest that that's a really good idea if they do sort of chase those kinds of certifications. The third one's resilience, and this is really around how well you can respond to any kind of interruption in your business. So again, a recent example for us was a client that had a significant reliance on one customer in particular. They were looking to invest to grow their business, and I guess they were a little reluctant to invest unless they had the support of this key customer to know that obviously they were going to support them in their investment.
A bit like putting all your eggs in one basket,
yeah,
isn't it?
There's an element of that, absolutely. And what we were able to do is to work with them to basically build a business case to present to their key customer. And in doing that, we were able to demonstrate to the key customer that it's in their benefit to support them in this investment because it makes their supply chain more resilient. So again, by having this discussion and presenting the business case, the client was able to gain a contract extension that gave them the confidence to then invest in new production lines and actually a new facility.
So it's outlining the benefits for both businesses. That's a really good business partnership, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And on the basis that even the fact that supplier came to them saying that, you know, they were focused on risk management, straight away you've got a benefit around that relationship. So there's absolutely benefit there. Culture is the fourth one, and culture's the hardest one to measure, but it can have the biggest impact. In its simplest term, it's around embracing culture in your business will give you more efficiencies. And the one that we see all the time is actually around safety. An industry that has absolutely embraced this is the mining industry. If you think about mining industry 30, 40 years ago, it was all about John Wayne in the West, and we'll just
dig here and see what happens.
And get the ore out no matter what.
Or they sent the canary down the coal mines, remember?
Exactly, yes. Whereas now, at board meetings, agenda items, safety is number one. You cannot do anything in the mining industry unless you've got to focus on safety. And in terms of how they've embraced that as a means of culture that actually drives efficiency and improvements in their business is very impressive, without a doubt.
You've seen that across many industries as well.
Absolutely.
Say, for example, okay, where we are now, which is within a radio studio, and I've been here for many, many years. I've seen massive changes as far as WHS over the years. It's to things that you just didn't even think were risky at the time.
Yes, and no disrespect to your employers, but I guess really the thing about culture is what's driving that change? Is it simply some driver to say, well, we need to be compliant with our obligations and that, you know, senior people understand that they've got obligations under the legislation? And there's nothing wrong with that either. That's a great outcome for everyone. Or is it taking it to that next step where you start to realise that if we engage with our employees on a safety culture basis, it'll actually give them some more engagement, some more empowerment, and ultimately deliver a better outcome?
Good point.
The last one, and I leave it last only because it's the one that generally most people want to talk about most, is obviously the financial impacts. And that can be as obvious as the savings that you'll generate on your insurance premiums by being able to sell to the insurance market your proactive approach to risk, but it also can drive efficiencies in your business around understanding your supply chain better, ensuring that the resilience around your supply chain is actually adding efficiencies to it rather than inefficiencies, and similarly encouraging you to make those capital improvements on the basis that protect your business in the long term can absolutely add long-term cost benefits.
So those five key things you've looked at: better decisions, competitive advantage, resilience, risk culture, and cost reduction. They're all things that Victual can help their clients with?
Yeah, absolutely. What our process is all about is very much a structured framework to implement with an organisation to help them understand their risk and to treat that risk better. So we base our process on the International Standard for Risk Management, and very much we're facilitators in that process to ensure that the framework gets embedded in your business. We certainly don't expect to become experts in your business. We're there to guide you and help you make those better decisions rather than simply telling you how to manage your business better.
Great. Sounds like there's no risk at all. Thank you, Peter.
Great. Thanks.
Now, you can find out more information about Victual by visiting the website, which is www.victual.com.au. And you can also download and complete the Risk Maturity Survey. That website again, www.victual.com.au.